Welcome. We're glad you've chosen to listen to this message from what God is doing at Kingdom Faith Southwest. We pray you will receive the faith you need through hearing God's word.
What strongholds do you need to build into your life? I was speaking, I'll just close with this. I was speaking to a youngish man. He's not young, but he's not old. About 40, I think. And his life has gone pear-shaped. He's lost his job. There are financial issues. There are marriage issues. And I had an occasion to spend a couple of... Nobody involved with Kingdom Faith, but I had an occasion to... So you won't know who I'm talking about. I had occasion to spend a couple of hours with him one evening in the last week or so, and go through various areas of his life. And I said, what are you doing about church? Oh, I've given up on church. I'm bored with it. It doesn't give me anything. I'm fed up with it. And I haven't been going for weeks, if not months. I said, who are you accountable to? I'm not accountable to anybody. Who are you inviting to speak into your life? Nobody really. Now, church membership is just one stronghold. But it was the stronghold in his life which needed attention. And I pray, my prayer is that he's in church this morning. Amen. Yes, he may be bored. And I've been bored in church. I remember when I was at college, we used to have chapel every morning at 8 o'clock. And we used to joke it was the last thing we did each morning before we woke up. But I've been there. I've been through that. If I can just share a word of personal testimony. Years ago... Where I left the church where I was pastoring and joined an organization. I was very much in the Anglican family in those days, and we went to the local Anglican church, as we felt we ought to. And it may be a rather judgmental statement to make, but it was pretty dead. There was very little life. And I remember looking across the row at June and our children, and June was crying. You know, this is awful. This is dead. We're just churning through a liturgy. We're just going through the motions. And the sermon would be on the oldest tombstone in Sussex or something like that. And we just faced that. And something that Pastor Colin had, because he'd actually worshipped in the same church and been through the same thing. And he said he came to a point where he said, I'm in church on Sunday. There is scripture. We sing the Psalms, albeit chanting them. There are two lessons, one from the Old Testament, one from the New Testament. There are hymns which we sing. Some of them good, godly hymns from people like Wesley and Newton and people like that. And he said, I'm going to pray that I get something. And God spoke to us about that. And every Sunday morning we would go into church and we'd say, Lord, give me something to challenge me or encourage me. You've probably heard the illustration before. Somebody once said that going to church is like gold mining. There are tons of sludge and nuggets of gold. Look for the nuggets of gold. What's the nugget of gold for you this morning? I mean, one nugget of gold that we may have got from this morning is that we don't need a band to worship the Lord. It's very nice to have a band to worship the Lord, but we don't actually need a band to worship the Lord. We need the truth and we need the Spirit and the presence of the living God. There's strongholds in our life. And I said to this young man, you need a, I mean, it's not the all and end all of his Christian life. But you need to build a stronghold in that particular area, because for you, that particular area is an area of weakness, and you've allowed the enemy to come in. And therefore, you've got to win a victory, and therefore, you've got to sustain the war. And that's where the strongholds come in. Let's stand together. Would you please turn with me, please, to 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel and chapter 8. I won't take time to read the whole chapter, but we're going to be referring to it. Verse 6, speaking about David. David put garrisons in the Aramean kingdom of Damascus, and the Arameans became subject to him and brought tribute. And the Lord gave David victory wherever he went. And again in verse 14, David put garrisons throughout Edom, and all the Edomites became subject to David, and the Lord gave David victory wherever he went. I was reading this passage a few weeks back, and the Lord just dropped something in my mind that I'd never seen before from this passage. And I've been mulling over it over the last week or so, and preaching this morning has given me the opportunity to formulate what I believe God wants to say. And there is a link, I believe, and I'll hopefully unpack this, between garrisons and victory. It's not a word that we often use, the word garrisons. We might think of a word castle, and I think some versions have the word stronghold. If we go down the road here to Minehead, as most of you know, just before you get to Minehead, there is the great big grey pile of Dunster Castle up on the left. And there was a castle there before William the Conqueror came, but he was largely responsible for building it and extending it and strengthening it. And when William came to this country and invaded this country, as we all know, in 1066, he won a battle, the Battle of Hastings. But William understood a principle about warfare, that you can win a battle but lose the war. And therefore, he did something very strategic in seeking to make sure that they won the war. And what he did was he built castles all over this country, and Dunster is one of them. As I say, there was a castle there before, but he extended it and strengthened it. And I suppose the most famous castle that he built is the Tower of London. And many of us have been there, so I'm sure we've all seen pictures of it. And what he did was he planted castles, which were garrisons, which were strongholds, you can use the word all interchangeably. He planted these castles around the country, this country, so that he would conquer the country. Winning a battle in Hastings didn't achieve his objective. What he wanted to do was to take over the country, or at least most of it. And what he did was he built these castles, or built these strongholds, all around the place. And these places became places which dominated the population. It became a center where they could put down any rebellion that took place, and it became a place where the soldiers and the people of William's army could take refuge. It's one thing to win a battle, but it's another thing to live in the victory of that battle. Now, we face this situation currently in Afghanistan. I could make a political statement. I have questions about what we're doing in that country, but one of the things that the soldiers and the army and the military are realizing, and it's happening, is that you can invade a village where the Taliban have a stronghold, and you can defeat the Taliban, and you can kick them out, and then they will come straight back in again when you leave. And you've achieved very little, or you've achieved something, but it's not very much. And I think it was the same issue for the Americans in Vietnam, where they took over a certain area and then they left, and the Viet Cong just came straight back in again. Now, 2,000 years before William the Conqueror, King David understood the same principle. And he realized that if you're going to win the war, you have to do something more than win a battle. If we just look at this chapter, 2 Samuel chapter 8, we see that in verse 1, he's at war with the Philistines. Verse 2, he is at war with the Moabites. In verse 3, he's at war with Zobah. Verse 5, the Arameans. And in verse 7, the Hadadezer, whoever they were. And the Bible tells us that God gave David victory wherever he went in each of these situations. But he understood that it wasn't just enough to win a battle. He was in for the long haul. And what he wanted to do was win the war. He understood that he wanted to do more than just have a victory. And to that end, he built castles and garrisons. In verse 6 and verse 14, if we just look at verse 14, he put garrisons throughout Edom, and all the Edomites became subject to David. And that's exactly what William the Conqueror did in this country in 1066. He didn't just win a battle. He went around the country putting strongholds and castles, and to use this word in the NIV, putting garrisons, which became strongholds to achieve his purpose. And 2,000 years or so ago, before William the Conqueror came to this country, David, King David, was putting into practice the same principle. To have strongholds to sustain what had been accomplished. Now, we are in a war. And we know this. And in our lives, we have battles. Jesus had a battle. He had a battle in the Garden of Gethsemane. Paul had a battle. In his writings, he makes clear that he had battles to fight over his self-life. And to see the victory, we need to, or to put it this way, to live in the victory, we need to have the strongholds in our lives which enable us to sustain that victory which has been accomplished and which has been won. Years ago, when I was involved with students, what was then called the IVF, the InterVarsity Fellowship, it has another name now, they did a study of the Christians who were active in Christian unions in the universities. And of course they would be in their late teens, early 20s, which is the time when most people become Christians. And the IVF, they did a study of the people who were active in Christian unions. Were they still active as Christians 10 years later? And they came to a very depressing conclusion. I can't remember what the figure was, what the statistic was, but so many of them had fallen away. They'd won battles as young people. They'd won battles as students with all the pressures that older teenagers and early 20s face in the university and all the rest of it. And they'd won the victory over that as Christians, but they'd left university, they'd graduated, and they'd come under the pressure of life. They'd got married, they'd had children, they would have a mortgage probably, buying their home, they would be in a new job, they would be seeking to rise in their career, whatever that was, and they would be under pressure, and God and Christian faith began to be laid by the wayside. They'd won a battle, but they didn't live in the victory of that battle. And why didn't they? Because they hadn't built strongholds into their lives. William the Conqueror conquered this country because he built strongholds in this country, like castles, to make sure that he sustained the victory that had been won. And King David did exactly the same thing. To see the victory, we have to establish the right strongholds in our life. Now, we often use the word strongholds in a negative way. People say there is a stronghold in my life, a demonic stronghold, which I need to be delivered from. Now, I want to use the word stronghold in the good sense. God wants to build strongholds in our life which sustain us in the war that we face. We can win the battle and lose the war. And I believe there is a danger, as I say, I don't want to make political statements, God forbid, but I believe there is a danger that that's going to happen in Afghanistan. We found it twice before in previous centuries. The Russians found it in more recent years. And I believe we're in danger because we're going to lose the war. And why? Because we don't have the manpower, we don't have the money, we don't have the facilities, the military wherewithal to place these strongholds dotted around the countryside to sustain the victory which we win. Now that may be a bit depressing and that may be a wrong analysis, but that's my own personal view for what it's worth. Now what are these strongholds that we need to build in our lives? I believe the place we have to start, and what I have to share with you this morning is nothing new, you've heard it before, but I believe God just wants to remind us of these things. The place I believe we have to start is faith. If you turn to 1 John 5, 1 John 5. This is the victory, 1 John 5 verse 4. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes, or if you like, only he who has faith that Jesus is the Son of God. Pastor Colin in his version, The Truth, puts it this way, it is our faith in Jesus and what he has done that gives us the victory. We need to, one of the strongholds that we need to have in our lives is faith in who we are and what we have in Christ Jesus. Psalm 28, the word says, the Lord is the strength of his people, a fortress of salvation. Turn back to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, Paul is talking about Abraham. Let me just read from verse 18. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations. Just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God. Abraham had a stronghold. He was under pressure. If you like, he was under a war. He was under a war to achieve something that in the natural he could not achieve. He knew that his body was past it, likewise his wife. And yet God, in that situation, had given him a stronghold to encourage and build his faith. Now you and I know that faith can go up and down. We can waver in our faith. Some of us will have faith projects that we haven't yet seen fulfilled. And God is saying you need to win the battle in that faith project. And what is the stronghold that enables us to win that battle? It's the word of God in our life. It's the promise of God in our life. Pastor Judith, a week or so back, just before Faith Camp, was talking about Paul and the storm at sea. Is it Acts 17, I think, somewhere like that. And Paul is there in this storm, and the ship is being battered by the gale and the hurricane and all the rest of it, and the ship is falling apart, and the crew are despairing. One man stood out. One man stood out, the Apostle Paul, and why did he stand out? Because he had a stronghold. What was the stronghold in his life? It was the word of God that he was going to Rome, and it might not seem very much to him, to us, but to him it was the stronghold. God had given him a promise. You won't drown at sea, because God has a further purpose for you. And it was a stronghold in his life, and he believed it, as Abraham believed it, and he didn't doubt. And those of us who have faith projects, and I guess probably maybe many of us do, maybe all of us do, we have faith projects which we believe are a God, and we believe this is what God has said, then we need to have faith in that. That faith is a stronghold. As John says in 1 John, it is our faith in Jesus that and what he has done that gives us the victory. The lie of the enemy is that he's given up on us. But the promise of God is that he will never give up on us. God doesn't know defeat. God has never been defeated. If God was defeated, God would cease to be God. And so God has never been defeated, and he never wants us to be defeated. But the thing that sustains us, the thing that keeps us and protects us, is that stronghold of the Word of God and our faith in that Word. And that is what we need to believe. Now, what other strongholds do we have? There are, in one sense, there are so many, but just let's turn to Acts chapter 2. I just want to use some verses which we're familiar with, but God just wants to speak to us about. Acts chapter 2 and verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, and so on. Firstly, one of the strongholds that they had in the early church was the apostles' teaching. For a number of years, it's been my privilege to teach Bible students. And one of the things that I used to hammer home to them is you need to know what you believe and why you believe it, and you need to be able to articulate what you believe and why you believe it. Let me just repeat that. You need to know what you believe and why you believe it. And you need to be able to articulate to others what you believe and why you believe it. So many people haven't got a clue what they believe. And there's nothing new in that. In Ephesians 4, Paul talks of people blown here and there by the wind of doctrine, by different teaching. There are some people who believe, what they believe is the last thing they heard. They listen to a teacher, they listen to a tape, they read a book, and it seems to be coming from a learned sort of person. He seems to know his Greek and his Hebrew. He seems to know his theology. He's been to university and all that sort of stuff. He seems to know what he's talking about, therefore that's what I believe. They read something else which is the opposite. Equally, a learned person, maybe a godly person, and therefore they believe that, and they just wave around. What do you believe about heaven and hell? And are you able to articulate what you believe and why you believe it to somebody else? What do you believe about what's going to happen to you when you die? And why do you believe it? And are you able to articulate what you believe? What do you believe about the baptism of the Holy Spirit? The truth is a stronghold. And in the early church, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. I praise God that over the years, I've been a Christian for 50 years, and I praise God in those 50 years, I've been under the teaching of godly men who have taught on the basis of what the Bible teaches. People sometimes ask me, what is your opinion about this or that or the other? One obvious example is homosexuality. I don't have an opinion about homosexuality. I base what I believe on the Bible. It's God's opinion about homosexuality that is the key. And we can believe this and we can believe that, and we want to be compassionate, we want to be kind and all the rest of it. But at the end of the day, what I believe is a stronghold. And if it's not a stronghold, then I'm going to wave around like a blade of grass in the wind. And the enemy attacks. The enemy attacks with error, exaggeration, deception, and it can be very subtle. And the truth is a stronghold. It's like a castle planted. And it's a place of refuge. That's where I go when I'm not sure. That's the place of attack. That's where I come out of to defend the truth and attack error. It's a stronghold. And if we're not people of the book, we are going to be weak as Christians. We have got to be people of the book. And what Paul says in Ephesians 4, where he talks about these people waving around, he says it's a sign of immaturity, but more importantly, it's a sign of weakness. Because if you're not a person of the book, if you're not a person who understands the truth, then you're a person who can be deviated, if you like, from the truth. And it can happen so easily and does happen so easily. Most of you know that in the history of the church, down through the ages, I mean, people have gone off in all sorts of weird and wacky and wonderful ways. Well, they're not very wonderful. They're certainly wacky. And some of what we hear from so-called Christian leaders is a load of rubbish. And how do we test that? The Word of God. It's a stronghold. Therefore, we need to be people of the book. And people sometimes say, well, I don't understand the Bible. Well, read it. Or I don't know it. Read it. Get into it. Another stronghold they had in the early church in those days was fellowship. Now, here again, you've heard this so often and you've heard it many times. But let me just touch on it briefly. When we become Christians, we're born again into Christ. But we're also born again into his family. And the Bible uses the word family in two senses in the New Testament, the word church. It uses the church in the worldwide sense, but it uses the word church in the local sense. And God calls us to be members of a local church. Now, being a member of a church doesn't make you a Christian. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. But going to church and being a member of a church expresses who you are as a Christian. And the church is a stronghold. People say, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. There is more to being a Christian, of course, than going to church. It's part of commitment, it's part of service, it's part of giving. But the Bible does not know anything of lone rangers. The Bible uses the illustration of the church as a body, and we all have a body, and hopefully it's a healthy body. And we've heard this illustration before, but if bits of our body decide to do something independent, we define that as sickness. And there are many people in churches up and down this country, around the world, who are sick. They're sick because they're not members of a committed church. They're not members of a committed body. The various members of our body, my leg, my arm, my eyes, they cannot function in independence. I need all the bits of my body to function together. I don't actually want to lose any bits of it. And God wants people to be part of the body, and he doesn't want people to just disappear. The church is a stronghold. And people are weak because they're not members of a church. They're not built into the life of a church. They're not in submission to the church leadership. And then in these verses, another stronghold is the breaking of bread, what we call Holy Communion. I was just thinking about this as I was preparing for this on Friday. In what way is breaking of bread a stronghold? What we call Holy Communion is a thanksgiving for what Jesus has done for us on the cross. But it's more than this, it's a challenge. Jesus said in Matthew 16, take up your cross. And in the early church, we see that people were going to Holy Communion and taking communion in an unworthy way, and some of them were becoming sick, and some of them even died. I mean, I don't believe we even think about that very much. We come to communion from time to time, every other week or whatever it is. We take communion, we take the bread and the wine. It's happened in the New Testament. People actually died as a result of coming to communion in an unworthy way, if you like, in unrighteousness. And one of the strongholds of our life is righteousness and godliness. And reflected in this whole concept of communion or breaking of bread is this whole concept of righteousness. This is my body given for you, Jesus said. But the challenge is, this is my body given for him. And part of the strongholds of our life is that righteousness, that godliness, that holiness, that purity. And if we're weak in that area, we will be weak in our life as Christians. And the final area that is mentioned in this verse is the word prayer. What can I say about prayer? Just in a few minutes. Years ago, a book that I read on prayer was a book by a man called Hallersby. And Hallersby opened the book by quoting in his opening chapter, he quoted Revelation 3:20, where Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone opens the door, I will come into him and will have fellowship with him." Prayer essentially is fellowship with God. We often think of prayer as asking God for something, but prayer is more importantly spending time with him. Pastor Judith, again, talking last week about the disciples in Acts 4, and you remember how they were defending their position, and they looked at these disciples and thought, how on earth are these guys saying this and doing this? And then they remembered that they had been with Jesus, they'd met with Jesus. That is our stronghold. We give up on our prayer life, we're going to be weak. We're going to be weak. Now, the danger of strongholds, which I've shared already, is you have to fight. The danger if you neglect your strongholds is you have to fight the battle again. You listen to that. In one sense, it's the most important thing I've said this morning. If you neglect your strongholds, you will have to refight the battle. You see, this is what's happening in Afghanistan. The NATO soldiers, the British, the Americans, and other soldiers, they're going into a village or a town and they're clearing the area of the Taliban, but they don't make a stronghold there. The result is that they leave and the Taliban comes straight back again, and therefore the British troops and the others have to refight the battle. And there are so many Christians who are struggling in their Christian life. Why? Because they are refighting the battles that they fought last week and the week before and the month before and the year before that. And I've met Christians who are fighting battles today that they were fighting years ago. And why are they fighting battles that they won years ago? Because they have neglected the strongholds. The simple basis of our Christian life, prayer, fellowship, church membership, faith, the word, these are the basic fundamentals which are our strongholds in our Christian faith, and we neglect them, we are going to be weak. And if you neglect them, you just invite the enemy to come straight back in again. And William the Conqueror understood that. David understood that. In those verses in 2 Samuel, it said David won a victory and he set garrisons. There is a link between the garrisons and the victory. He won the battle, but he wanted to win the war. To win the war in Edom, Moab, and all the other places, he had to set the garrisons. He didn't build castles like William the Conqueror did, but it was the same principle. You take these out, and you allow the situation to be weak, and the enemy will come straight back in again. I suppose the challenge for each one of us, for me, for you, for all of us, is what castles are weak? What strongholds are weak? Where do we need to strengthen the castle? And I suppose just to follow the analogy through with William the Conqueror, from time to time, castles became neglected. The walls began to fall down, and that was an invitation for the local population to rebel and whatever, whatever, whatever. And therefore, this castle had to be re-strengthened if they were going to achieve their desired objective. If they're weak, they will not be a stronghold. We spend a lot of time thinking about bad strongholds, but just think for a moment this morning about good strongholds. God wants to build strongholds, castles in our lives, if you like, garrisons. And it's not insignificant that in King David's day, there is a link between victory and garrisons. You have the garrisons, you get the victory, or you sustain the victory.
This completes the message. Thank you for listening. If you would like any further information on Kingdom Faith Southwest, please contact us on 01823 664 186 or overseas visitors 0044 1823 664 186 or log onto our website at www.kingdomfaithsw.com.